Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When you think about it, creating monopolies is kind of second nature to human beings. If you got a good thing going for you, why stop, right? We even have a board game, very popular one, called what? Monopoly. It teaches us all about the value and power of ownership. The hard thing with monopolies, though, is they do not leave much room for diversity, right? I mean, if you're really good at playing the game Monopoly, I don't think many people are going to want to keep playing with you the next time. In our gospel reading, Jesus knew the monopolizing that people wanted in the town of Capernaum, where he was doing many, many miracles. He healed their sick and cast out demons. You heard today how the whole town was pretty much gathered right in that home that became a church, frankly. And yet the temptation was for God's son to set up shop, create his own entrepreneurial business, right? To kick his feet back and let the people come to him. However, Jesus came, as you know, not to be served, but to serve, which meant bust up the monopoly, time to move on. And this is what Jesus said, right? Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. So when Christ died and rose from the dead and before ascending to heaven, when he sent out his apostles, his church, no one faced more diversity in life and mission work than St. Paul, right? As a former Pharisee, he would have persecuted and shunned such lands, peoples, and cultures. He would have had nothing to do with them. However, God saw fit to put him in the mess of it all. God redeemed his life, and so St. Paul had one purpose as he traveled literally throughout the Western world at that time. And his purpose was to preach the gospel. And so you have to define the gospel. The gospel is what God had done by his grace to save humanity in Jesus Christ, that all would repent and believe in him. Rather than monopolizing, St. Paul makes a big boast today. He says, I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. The gospel is for diverse lives, to have God's mighty power shine upon any with Jesus Christ for them. And so we have to kind of start out and say, diversity makes for an honest picture of life. God, first off, never created any two people to be the same, right? We know if you get twins, they look the same, but they're what? Very different. We know that as a parent, if you think you figured out the first kid, the second, third, fifth, or whatever kid you get later is not like the one before. Those tactics just don't work the same. Those Christians in the Corinthian church did not come to be a congregation, a body of Christ, by worldly standards, because that meant sales pitches and certain kinds of niches, target groups, that kind of talk we have today in business world. Instead, St. Paul really kind of describes the little church there in Corinth. He says, some were Jews by blood, which meant it was their family heritage. Others were followers of the law of Moses. Anybody who came to be an Israelite, whether Jew or Gentile, following the Levitical law, right? Don't eat this, come to church the Sabbath day on this day, and all that kind of stuff. Others were without the law. They had no clue about the Ten Commandments. they kind of follow their conscience and what was good for life, but they really were, in many ways, wrong about what love looked like. And still, finally, there were those there in Corinth who were just plain weak. Weak in terms of what the world saw of them as, and also weak in terms of just being sinners. More than being in a diverse world, which isn't too hard to figure out, I mean, especially today with all the ways we can see different kinds of ways people live and who they may be. I mean, it's just unbelievable, right? But we live in diverse times as well. Complexity of life continues to become more complex as the world gets smaller. If we call ourselves a global community, it's not because it's so easy to understand it. And so what's kind of ironic is the world gets smaller and becomes more complex. And so in a way, the world becomes a small town. And even in a small town like Lake Park, it's still very diverse when you can think about it the way it works. We also have that diversity of religions, beliefs, teachings floating around. And that's because, well, we live in a land of freedom of religion. It's going to happen. It's bound to happen. It's going to be there, better or worse. And we also know, unlike cookie-cutter homes, where you just take a home, right, and you kind of move the window over here and put the door over there, and then you just kind of sell the same home, right? Ironically, the church is not like that. The church is not a cookie-cutter kind of home of God because it's the body of Christ. It's very unique in a certain place with certain people who have received God's grace. Diving into the diversity of life, then, is for Christ to shine upon all people. St. Paul refused to monopolize a single group or consider his own personal rights and interests. He wasn't married, so he didn't have that big burden. He didn't have the burden of children and the things of which he said, I wish all people could be like me, but he could do it. He really, truly was a diverse guy that could truly look out for the good of all people to see Jesus. Instead, Paul became a servant of Christ, and he served the Lord, stepping into the lives of sinners. And many times, stepping into their lives ended up being that they would end up stoning him and hurting him greatly for his confession of faith. And to the Jews, though, he became a Jew, following their fleshly glory as God's chosen people. They had a great heritage, but such glory also rejected why Christ in the flesh died on the cross. They just couldn't handle that. To God-fearing Jews and Gentiles who followed the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments kind of stuff, those guys who abided in the law. But the law, as you know, of works, nobody could boast over. It's what made Jesus the bigger boast, because he was the perfect sacrifice for sinners. To those Gentiles who didn't have the law, who were in many ways more like animals than what, you know, those who had the law looked at them to be, in many ways, the Apostle Paul didn't overburden them. He didn't try to make them circumcised like the Jews. He didn't try to make them have to honor the Sabbath day. No, he wanted them to see Jesus. But neither was immorality, neither was their way of life something good compared to the better way of the cross. That's what he kept calling the Gentiles to take up your cross and see Jesus. To those who were weak, Paul had compassion when they turned back to false idols. He knew the easy temptations. He could see it right there in their society. And so he had compassion on them to repent and to forgive. And he had mercy for the lesser standings of those in life who maybe it was bad for business to be associated with these kind of poor kind of class of people, but Paul invited them in. He became like them. Matter of fact, Paul, better than me and most pastors, Paul had his own business. He was a tent maker. He could do that kind of stuff. He really put himself out in every way to not be a burden, but to let Christ be the blessing for all to see Jesus. Celebrating diversity, though, when we talk about so much of this, diversity in and of itself ends up being a dead end. We celebrate that a lot today, and there's nothing wrong with diversity, but it's not going to save us. No person, group of people, or culture, no matter how diverse we can get them to be, can never avoid or overcome this problem. Sin, death, and the devil, can they? People keep having babies and they're all diverse, unique people. You can't have another one. This is why we're against abortion. But I got news for you. At the same time, whatever blessings God works in that unique person born in this world, they're still born what? A sinner needing Jesus. So, whether willingness by Jesus to go to various towns, and towns are very unique, even in our small area, unique towns from Lake Park to Spirit Lake to Sioux Valley, they're just diverse and unique. And yet, Paul also, he adapted the diverse into the diverse lives of people, didn't he? He kind of just went with it. But here's the thing, the biggest thing. The gospel was never thrown under the bus. The gospel, the teaching faithfully of what that meant from God's word never became second rate. It always was front and center. It always remained intact. No matter what customs and traditions and habits people had, it was always having to go back to the better thing that could not be sacrificed. The true faithfulness of Jesus and the teaching that kept Jesus intact to save sinners. Respecting diversity is not about being indifferent, then. That's the point. I have become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. So you see then, winning wasn't about how easy he was able to walk around and just kind of fit in and you know adjust his life to whatever people were living in because they were all sinners. He adjusted his life to them so that they would be saved, every single person, because all lives are a lie. All live in sin. All are walking astray. And we need what? We need forgiveness. We all are diverse when we come to church, and yet we all end up at this altar by the promise of our baptism, confessing our sins, so that we hear one unique promise. You heard it again today. Jesus says what for us? I forgive you all your sins. When he says, I want to save some, some's not all. But the length of God's love for us turns us not to count the numbers or despise a single person who repents and believes in the gospel. There's more joy over heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 who need no what? Who need no repentance. You can have a big, diverse church and not a single person heard forgiveness and the hope to know that Jesus has covered a multitude of everything that you uniquely have sinned against him with. And Jesus says, I love you. You. Not them, not those problem makers over there, but you, once again. United to Christ is for us to share in the one hope we have as sinners. That's the great invitation in our times today, in a global small community that's so complex and getting out of control. We have one unique gift for the whole world: to repent and believe the gospel. Paul was not doing this just to love others in worldly terms. He didn't care about that kind of stuff. His purpose was for the sake of the gospel, which meant Christ's love was as much for him as it was for others. Rather than a privatized religion, it was a public confession for life, where Paul took up his cross daily to serve with love. You see, privatized religion, as we're falling into it today, and the Christian church is doing it, is a selfish Jesus that doesn't save anyone but who? You. It doesn't even save you. Because we need someone more than me to hear the good word of Jesus. Even pastors are not their own pastors. And so the point is to share with others in Christ was to be the church. and live by that forgiveness granted freedom to be servants before Jesus. And so there's no salvation, you can say, in Jesus without his church. It's just not possible. And that's what St. Paul is celebrating in Corinth. These people were all against one another because all they kept seeing was themselves and not the others. And finally, St. Paul is saying, you are the church because Christ sees every one of you. And that's because I preach nothing to you but Christ and him, what? Crucified. The gospel shines light upon all to see what great lengths God has gave to save us. In a world that becomes more diverse, it's easy to wonder this problem. We celebrate diversity, and yet here's the problem. Does God care about me? Or we wonder whether if anything is worthwhile. Because there's so many things, so many diverse things. What's truth? What's the point? And yet baptism points us, joins us in Christ to hear. God gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength, and that strength to have faith that God knows all peoples, cultures, and languages. And so it's to live in them by faith. The church doesn't belong to a single culture or people. It belongs to Christ, and he invites people into it from diverse places, doesn't he? Sharing in the gospel draws us to the Holy One. And God has a monopoly of love, and that's the big thing. God does play a game of monopoly. And he bought up the whole board by the blood of Jesus, didn't he? He bought Boardwalk and Park Place, and he also bought the Baltic Avenues and the really kind of railroads and all the low places on the board that no one really wants to get, because what's the point? Jesus bought the whole board up because he loves sinners. And so by his word and sacrament, the monopoly comes to give us life, again in Jesus' name. Jesus brings forgiveness and shapes our love to serve with hope in life. This is the hope in life for others, that he has not failed them. And why can you tell someone that? Because Jesus has not failed you, just like he didn't fail St. Paul. St. Paul had huge burdens as a pastor. And he cried out to God to remove some of those burdens. And Jesus told him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect. What? In weakness. That is not good for business. But it's the best blessing you could have, because Jesus has made himself to be your Savior and Lord to keep you safe. God deals with diversity not by forcing conformity or letting things just kind of ravel out of control. Jesus died and rose, calling sinners from monopolizing for self to serve others. The gospel is for diverse lives, to have God's mighty power shine upon all in the way we know best, in the best way that God serves all. By shining upon them in Jesus. Amen. Now the peace of Christ that passes all understanding be with your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.